Get ready. You're about to enter the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast, member of the Self-Defense Radio Network, and tip of the hat to Player FM and Auto Radio, broadcasting you coast to coast from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia, talking about great ideas. And what type of great ideas are we talking about? As always, we're talking about Liberty, bro, because what else are we going to talk about? We need a niche somewhere. You know, there's so many different podcasts out there, and I'm constantly checking our rating on news and politics, and because we don't have like a massive conservative review budget, if anyone from conservative review is listening and wants to maybe pick us up and throw us a giant check, we're pretty sporadic. I think recently we were in the top 30s a couple months ago, and recently we were in the 70s about a week ago, by the time we're recording this. But I mean, it's really thanks to listeners like you, and it's such a great time to be alive. I know everyone thinks we're about to embark on World War III, but I'm trying to look at, you know, the little silver linings here and there. And when a guy like me and his brother can start in a basement with a $50, you know, donation from a friend to go buy a microphone, and a year later, this is where we're at, competing with, you know, NPR and the fake news all out there online. I mean, I feel pretty good. And, you know, just recently I was talking to Michael Pickens from Libertarian Leadership, and we were talking about, you know, third parties, and I was talking to a couple friends of mine here in the Republican Party of Virginia. And it's a time where, you know, the opportunity to get your message out there, the opportunity to actually go affect change, the opportunity for anyone and everyone to go out and do something new and great that doesn't just benefit themselves, but also benefits an entire community and even the world sometimes. I mean, it's beautiful. I recently saw a video of this guy who started a business called Stand in Line Guys. Just right there, I probably messed up. I saw it a couple days ago. But this dude in New York was homeless, and someone offered him $100 to stand in line for Hamilton tickets. And he was like, you know, I should just get paid to do this. So he started a website, hired a couple other people. Now he's making like $1,500 a day just standing in lines in, you know, Central Square. I mean, it's remarkable. And I think this is a time where we can actually get these limited government free market ideas out there. I mean, I haven't been a Republican long, only since, you know, maybe 6-7 months ago, but I'm seeing that, you know, this is a time for the GOP, good or bad, to actually do something amazing. But it involves actually getting people that care about individual liberty. It's about people that actually care about actually seeing other people have not just, you know, a good outcome in their life, but have the opportunity to go create their own outcome. And everyone's like, you know, somebody else has got to do it. But sometimes all it takes is you looking in the mirror and saying, maybe I can do it. One of those people out there who looked in the mirror and said, maybe I'll raise my hand, maybe I'll take a chance on this, is Paul Daame from Vermont. That's State Representative Paul Daame. And he happens to be calling in today. Sir, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. It's a pleasure to have you on. So you kind of heard my spiel a moment ago. Is this a good time for liberty, or is this bad? Because, I mean, you're from Vermont and you're there, and from what I can see, you're doing some good. But then you've got other guys in Vermont like Bernie Sanders, and I mean, he wants to, you know, nationalize everything. So it's kind of strange because we're seeing this great opportunity for both liberty and tyranny to a degree. And Bernie will never use the term tyranny for any of his, you know, socialist principles, but that's what it always comes down to. So is this a good opportunity for liberty, or is this a negative time for that?
Well, I think when it comes to liberty, it is the best of times and it is the worst of times, you know? And it's funny because I've had that conversation with a couple of folks here in Vermont, and there's a lot to be really encouraged about, and there's a lot to be very discouraged about. And I think part of it is, as the liberty movement has grown and is really still in our, if not in our infancy, still in our toddler stage, maybe our expectations, like the expectations of my two toddlers, are not all that realistic. But I think about, there's some really amazing stuff happening. I mean, to me, you know, a little while ago, we had the House Freedom Caucus shut down the House Majority Leader on a major piece of legislation with this Obamacare Lite. And you had the president behind this. You had, you know, the Speaker of the House behind it. It sounded like they weren't those guys were digging their heels in and we're going to shove this down your throats the same way that the Democrat establishment was going to shove it down the throats of the American people. And this small ragtag group of people with silly Twitter handles were able to stop some pretty bad legislation that apart from the House Freedom Caucus. And if you had a Republican Party that looked like it did just, you know, 10 years ago, they would have folded like a cheap card table and we would have Obamacare Lite and Republicans would have gotten the blame for it. And yet we had a strong number of principled Republicans who actually cared about what they said on the campaign trail and wanted to make sure that the policies they were implementing matched it, not just the politics. And to me, that's a huge breakthrough. I don't know the last time you look over our lifetimes that a group of people who are in the minority in the House were able to band together and stop a really bad piece of legislation. You think, you know, when Obamacare happened, you know, we got steamrolled. I mean, when you're talking about Medicare Part D and some of the expansion of the state under George W. Bush, there was no resistance to roll over, you know. So I think there's a lot to be encouraged about if you take the long view. And this stopping the Obamacare Lite that the Republicans were pushing is a huge victory and something that encourages me because it shows that it's not just, you know, social media and YouTube videos and people thinking along these lines. There is a legitimate exercising of political power in places where they're not used to having a significant principled resistance. So to me, that's pretty encouraging. So you've got that. You know, the downside is you've got President Trump, who a lot of my Ron Paul friends from 2012 were all excited about, really completely going back over what sounded like a very non-interventionist foreign policy. So you know, there's certainly things to be discouraged about. But for me, the people who identify as the Liberty Movement and have kind of worn that as their identity have really been able to flex their muscle and make a difference. And you know, folks like Donald Trump, who never claimed to be anything close to a libertarian, him not being as libertarian as we would like, we shouldn't be surprised by that. So I think there's huge opportunity ahead.
Exactly. Sir, we're actually going to keep this conversation going, but first we're going to go ahead and hit our first commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the REMSA Republic of State Representative Paul Dane from Vermont. Hang on tight. We'll be right back in a moment.
The voice of the Liberty Generation, Remzo W. Martinez.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remzo Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty, rock and roll.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This large lady with, like, tight clothing on. not appropriately linked to tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble and what happened? What happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's PreussPodcast.com.
Make sure to visit LibertarianWingMedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want, when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the show. So, sir, you know, you mentioned the long view earlier, and, you know, you brought up how you were a Ron Paul guy back in 2012. From the days where you were just contemplating running to where, you know, things are now, what was going through your head at the time? Could you have ever imagined that the state of American politics would be where it's at now? Even just, you know, the state level in Vermont with, you know, the rise of progressives like, you know, Democrat, socialist, or I don't know what label they're throwing on themselves these days. They're going to probably pick out something within the next couple months because now they don't call themselves liberals. But I mean, I agree with you, like what you said earlier, this is a great time and this is a sad time in certain ways. So, you know, where did you kind of see yourself around the time that you were running? And did you ever imagine that we'd get here with all this craziness going on?
Wow. Yeah. I think it depends on what craziness you're talking about. You know, if you're talking about the Donald Trump craziness.
Yeah, no, I mean, the guy from The Apprentice is president.
Yeah. And I thought for sure that, you know, there was no way. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And eventually people are going to wake up and they're not going to take this guy seriously. But that never happened. But the craziness behind Bernie Sanders is something I am unfortunately all too well aware of.
Because, yeah, you guys are neighbors, you know, right?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of his houses are pretty close to where I live.
Well, I was joking. So, I did not actually know that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's probably about 6 or 7 miles away from my house. Yeah, I live just outside of Burlington. But the interesting thing is you mentioned that they don't really have a name yet. In Vermont, a lot of people don't realize this. There's a very strong third party in Vermont, and it's the Progressive Party. And in Vermont, the Progressive Party has won the lieutenant governor's seat, I think in a 30-person Senate, I think they have 3 people left and somewhere between 6 to 8 members in a 150-person House. So and they usually run statewide candidates. So I wouldn't be surprised if Democrats in the vein of Bernie Sanders, who feel like liberal isn't strong enough a word, start taking up this progressive label because it's a successful label. Or it's been a successful label in Vermont state politics.
That's insane. I did not actually know that. And it's kind of strange in a way because I don't know if this Progressive Party is the same one that, you know, Teddy Roosevelt started way yonder back. But, I mean, progressivism started with the GOP. And over time, like, you know, Venom from Spider-Man, it just keeps jumping from host to host, corrupting everything. And it is kind of strange because, you know, I spend a lot of time bashing progressives because, you know, it's easy and it kills time for me sometimes when I'm trying to find something to say. But I, you know, this is strange because what I saw were a lot of people that were disenfranchised with the way that Hillary Clinton had rigged the election really going up against the DNC in a sense. And like you said, for some people, you know, liberal might not go too far. And while I don't see myself or, you know, a lot of people I know ever teaming up with someone that calls himself a socialist, you know, I'm trying to take my friends where I can find them when it comes to winning battles, not just ideologically, but in terms of policy. You know, I was listening to the Bernie Sanders show, and it's even weirder when I say it out loud, but he was interviewing Josh Fox. He's a liberal documentary director, and one of the things they complained about when they were discussing the environmentalist movement was that in the state of Florida, it's illegal to have a house that's off the grid, and they're complaining about that, and I'm just like, guys, those are your policies. Those are government policies. They didn't pay their fair share. And they're not looking at the wider picture and things like that. And it's so strange. But when I think of that, I'm like, you know, is this an area that we can actually, you know, kind of meet progressives in the middle? Or is there any field or policy that you think we can actually, I don't know, maybe partner up with progressives on? And while we might not want it for the same reasons, we can ultimately get, you know, what we want out of it, which is more liberty.
Yeah, I think there's a couple places, and it's something that I saw as a legislator in the Vermont you know, in the Vermont House, where there would be a couple issues where progressives who were used to me, you know, figuratively banging my fist on the desk about spending and taxes, assumed I was completely unapproachable. And then when we started talking about things like criminal justice reform, talking about marijuana, talking about you know, some other interesting things. I was surprised in Vermont last year we had this bill for dental therapists, which is kind of like this mid-level practitioner. And although I would like to get away from a lot of the unnecessary licenses that we have, what was happening here was they were kind of creating a new license in the middle. And for me, I kind of saw it through the lens of we're allowing more people to work without strict prohibition from the government. So there was a case where I worked with a lot of progressives and other folks. And the interesting thing, the thing I loved about that issue was that all the liberals loved it because it was the way to treat folks who were on Medicaid, who a lot of doctors or dentists wouldn't see. And for me, I saw it as freeing up the market and giving dentists more authority and autonomy to staff their practice the way they wanted to. So it depends on the issue and how you look at it. And sometimes you can find that angle where, like you said, we want the same policy, but sometimes for very different reasons.
What's the most difficult thing in terms of being an effective legislator when you're dealing with somebody across the aisle that just refuses to even, you know, communicate with you or try and find the middle ground on something? Or does that not happen as often as we might see on the news?
That's pretty par for the course. And in Vermont, we kind of like to pride ourselves on not being as hyperpartisan as things are in Washington. But at the same time, on the issues that really cut to the quick, you know, especially spending and taxing, because money ultimately is a placeholder for what you value, right? If you look at any individual person's household budget, you'll know what they value, what's important to them. That's what money does. It's a signal for what's valuable, you know, or where we're putting our value. So that is always a contentious fight. I think it can be tough because folks sort of get set in their ways, and no matter how much you tell people how a policy is going to affect you, you know, because I'm a small business owner and served in the legislature, and they try to do some of these things like mandatory paid sick leave. And I'm like, I own my own business and nobody gives me paid sick leave. You know, I don't get to take the day off paid. You can't force people to do that. And it becomes tough because people have very different backgrounds and experiences that make it difficult for them to hear what their colleagues across the aisle are saying.
Exactly. And the one really interesting thing about you is that, you know, in terms of Northern Republicans, when you look at anyone that's really kind of like, you know, in the North, people automatically think of the Chris Christies, the Pataki's, the Kasich's, I mean, all those guys. You're very liberty-minded, and that's the way you also, you know, propose policy and try and get things passed. Do you think there's just really a negative stereotype with Northern Republicans for a reason, or do you think it's a myth? I mean, what's going on? Because you're the exception to that stereotype for a lot of people.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to be fair, all the other guys you mentioned were all governors, and I'm just a state rep, you know.
True,
so maybe to get to a certain level, you do have to I think you have to do things differently. But you also look at guys like Paul LePage, right? I mean, Maine was a pretty purple state, and Paul is turning it red. And I think there is a Texas Republican isn't going to do well in the Northeast. So it does take a different kind of Republican. But I don't think that the moderate, middle of the road, brand is the only way to be successful up in this, you know, neck of the woods. And I think there's different ways to cut across traditional party lines.
I really want to jump in real fast. Yeah. I mean, you brought up moderates, and I know a lot of people here in Virginia, they're like, you know, I just want, you know, like a moderate Republican, or maybe I'm looking for a conservative Democrat. Typically when I hear about moderates, and I might just be a bit jaded coming from Arizona originally, where, you know, John McCain was my senator, and he's considered by many a, you know, either a progressive Republican or a moderate. It seems that moderates are essentially like, and I'm going to tick some people off, they're like political sociopaths, because they don't have necessarily a guiding worldview or a guiding philosophy. They don't put liberty as a primary principle. It's just like, oh, you know, I need to pass all this stuff so I can go back to my district or wherever, and I could tell them, look how much I did for you, even though it might have taken some of your liberties there, and it may have cut something there, and it may have, you know, done something dumb there while succeeding there. I mean, is the moderate label itself really kind of like a facade, or do you think there are people that are just like, okay, I just want to make sure that maybe things aren't as terrible, or maybe things aren't, you know, one way or another?
Yeah, I think there's an element to a number of moderates who really just find themselves to be pragmatic, you know, and as I think of, especially, you know, the folks up here in the Northeast, where they've got, you know, a 2/3, you know, Democratic majority in their legislature, and they're a Republican governor, you know, so they're, you know, they've got one hand behind their back, and they're kind of limited, and they've got to spend their political capital very carefully. And so I think that's why you see some of those kinds of things. And they really put pragmatism over party. And I think that the other approach to appeal to places that are typically deep blue states is to put principle over party. And I think, you know, Congressman Justin Amash is a great example of that, but he is by no means a moderate. And yet there are a number of Democrats and independents who have a profound respect for him because he has principles. He articulates them very clearly. You know exactly what you're getting. And he defends them even when his own party is at fault. And I think that's a way that Republicans or even libertarians can pick up Democratic and independent support, is being willing to criticize Republicans when Republicans aren't pursuing the path or the policies that lead to greater individual liberty.
Agreed. 100% agreed. Sir, we're going to go ahead and hit our final commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. We'll be back in a minute right after this commercial break.
We'll be back shortly.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemzoRepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Segment. You know, sir, we covered a lot, and you know, I'm glad that we had a few moments to talk about, you know, what a moderate is, because it's just one of those things that it might not be important in the grand scheme, but it's just one of those things that really bugs me, because you know, you mentioned at the beginning of the show how, you know, just a ragtag group of conservative commandos took on the establishment. And you know, to the extent, when I'm talking to a lot of my Republican peers, you may have been upset with people like, you know, my old boss, Tom Garrett, who was a freshman congressman, and he had jumped immediately aboard on the HFC. I mean, as a new Republican, and I was an independent for a while, you know, I'm kind of upset with a lot of Republicans, because it's like, well, why aren't they all part of the Freedom Caucus? Why aren't they all part of that? Why weren't they all speaking against that? And I know, like you said, in areas across the country where they might be have their hands tied behind their back, it could be really difficult. But, you know, in terms of looking forward, what are some of the areas that excite you in terms of actually advancing free market messages, in terms of actually putting limited government principles to work? Are there any areas that you're really kind of excited about?
I really think that the greatest asset for the enhancement of liberty in this country is the rapid advancement of technology in the systematic decentralization of everything that is important. You think about how we consume media, you think about how we make connections. So many things have been completely decentralized, which is very hard for authoritarians to really grab hold of, you know. And so I think that's a huge encouragement. And as people begin to experience firsthand some of these things like Uber and Airbnb, and they see how they personally can benefit from a free market, and that just because you have a free market doesn't mean that, you know, somebody's out to, crash a car that you're in, or poison, you know, the water of the Airbnb that you're staying in, you know, and all these, caricatures of all the terrible things that could potentially happen in a less regulated market, as people through their own personal experience realize that just doesn't happen. I think that's the greatest asset that I see moving forward, is the way that technology has decentralized so much and has made our experience in so many different areas completely customizable. I mean, think about your smartphone. No one else in the world has a smartphone that does exactly what yours does, because there's hundreds of apps on it that you have in a particular combination that no one else has. Name one thing in government that works like that, that is that specific and tailored and personalized and customized. It doesn't exist. That's not what government is good at. Government is good at one size fits all, you know? And I think as people realize that and their expectations are continually met for having a very personalized experience, their tolerance for systems that do not adapt and do not provide that will eventually cause them to think differently about government and what government is good at, what it's not good at, and how large the scope of influence it should have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, sir, we covered a lot in a very little amount of time. If there's one giant message you want our listeners to take home, what is that?
I would say that the most important thing is to look for opportunities and take advantage of them. You know, I went from being a guy who held a sign at a sine wave for Ron Paul to becoming elected to the state legislature in the state of Vermont as a Republican. And my path was, you know, I got there not because I'm particularly talented or particularly a good leader or anything like that, but I was willing to raise my hand and I was willing to say, you know what, if there's no one else around here that's willing to do that, I can't be worse than nobody, so I'll give it a shot. And sometimes surprising myself, you'll win a race or you'll gain support or you'll be able to advance the cause of liberty in a number of different ways. So look for those opportunities and never be afraid to step up, especially when there's no one else, you know, who's offering to do that. And even if you run a race, you know, you run for elected office, which there's lots of other ways to help too. But even running for office, even if you lose, you get the chance to talk to a lot of people and spread that message of liberty and what this country could be and the way that you see that we could be doing better for the people that our government is supposedly serving.
Beautiful. Sir, mm-hmm. If people want to learn more about you, follow you online, get in contact with your office, how can they do so?
The best thing is check out my website, pauldame.com. And from there, you can find me on Twitter at Dame4VT. And you can also find me on Facebook.
Outstanding, sir. You know, learned a lot, had a blast. Thank you so much for coming on the program tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Folks, you heard the man. Sometimes, you know, we're going to see things that we don't necessarily want to get involved in. We're going to see things where we're like, wow, I really hope someone out there does something about this because I'm kind of intimidated. I'm kind of scared. I feel like I'm the low man on the totem pole. I'm not prepared for this. But, you know, like I said a couple episodes back, we all have those burdens that hide deep in our chest. And society treats burdens as if it's something that we need to get rid of. It's something that, you know, it's oppressing us in some way. But the God-given thing about burdens is that it's pointing you in the direction of where you're needed to go. It might not necessarily be a giant Joan of Arc moment, but like he said, if no one else is going to do it, you have a moral obligation to make change, even if it's just being the man in the arena. And I know, you know, sometimes that can be really intimidating, and sometimes we just need a couple steps to go forward and, you know, kind of put our feet in the water. But, you know, there's one thing you could do if you do want to make a difference around the people in your life. You could, I don't know, subscribe to the show. Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, so many other apps, networks, and platforms. Or, to make it simple, you can just go www.remsorepublic.com/podcast and find out from there. We made it easy for you. As always, be good to your neighbor. Be good to yourself, too. And tune in next week. I'm Remso W. Martinez with the Remso Republic. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?